morning. And it's an honor to speak here on Fred's birthday. Turn in your Bibles.
Wow.
To John chapter 1. We'll get to 10. There's a couple things in John that we should notice before we jump into chapter 10, and it's how the book is divided. When they divided the chapters up, and I'm not sure why they did that in some places, but they divided John into events, okay? And each event is very clearly delineated, except here, okay? So chapter 1, we begin with, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and everything in chapter 1 flows together, okay? And then chapter 2, a new event, on the third day. Okay, full event. Chapter 3, now there was a man of the Pharisees. Another, this guy feeds us. This is someone that went through the door by the enablement of the doorkeeper. He didn't come up some other way. We're going to follow this guy. He's feeding us. He's giving us what we need to survive. A stranger they're not going to follow, they'll flee from him because they do not know the voice of strangers. And I think that's pretty applicable today. As Christians, we should be so in the Word and so in tune to what the Spirit is teaching us that when we hear error, we can spot it. Now, that doesn't sound quite right. They don't know the voice of strangers. We should be like that. This figure of speech Jesus spoke to them. And again, he's talking to the Pharisees. But they did not understand what those things were which he had been saying to them. I guess no surprise there. Take a look at John chapter 8. Verse 42. And again, he's talking to you, the religious leaders here. And, well, jump back to verse 39. Abraham is our father. That was kind of the Jewish saying. Two things. We're disciples of Moses, and Abraham is our father. We don't need anything else. Jesus said, if you are Abraham's children, do the deeds of Abraham. But as it is, you're seeking to kill me. A man who has told you the truth, which I heard from God, this Abraham did not do. You are doing the deeds of your father. And he explains that in verse 44. They said to him, we were not born in fornication. Kind of a poke at their misunderstanding of where Jesus came from. We have one Father, God. If God were your Father, you would love me. For I proceeded forth and have come from Him. I have not even come in my own initiative, but He sent me. Why do you not understand what I'm saying to you? It is because you cannot hear my word. You're of your father, the devil. Why don't they understand what He's saying here in chapter 10? Because they're of their father, the devil. And notice what he says, verse 44. You want to do the desires of your father. He was a murderer from the beginning, does not stand in the truth because there's no truth in him. And that's why he says here in chapter 10, these false shepherds, these thieves and robbers that climb up, come only to steal and kill and destroy, just like your father. Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep, and you guys aren't coming through me. You're coming up some other way. And in fact, you're rejecting me. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. The sheep feared them. I mean, think of what was going on back in chapter 9. Why didn't the blind man's parents want to stick up for their son? They were afraid. They were afraid of being put out of the synagogue. The sheep don't hear them. They're afraid of them. And then he says, verse 9, I am the door. If anyone enters through me, he will be saved. And think of the fold, okay? On the outside at night, where the wolves, the coyotes, I don't know if they had coyotes over there, but bad things on the outside. You go through the door, you're saved from the bad things on the outside. And we can expand that to the spiritual realm as well. We're saved from sin. We're saved from the power of sin. We're saved from the penalty of sin. One day we'll be saved from the very presence of sin. But only through the door. John 14, verse 6, a verse we probably know fairly well. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. There is no other way to come into the presence of the Father. There is no other way to get into heaven but through the door. Acts 4:12. There is salvation in no one else. There is no other name under heaven that has been given among men by which we must be saved. He's not giving us, he's just one way, one of many. He's saying, no, there is salvation in no one else. There is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. If anyone enters through me, he'll be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. You've got salvation and sustenance. You want to be saved? You go through the door. You want to be sustained? You go through the door. There isn't any other way. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they might have life and have it abundantly. We think of eternal life as something that we're going to get. The fact of the matter is, eternal life is something we have now. We have eternal life the moment we placed our faith in Christ. It's not something we're merely looking forward to, it's something we possess. We have eternal and abundant life now. But do we realize that? Do we think that way? Do we appropriate that? And then he switches figures. Now he's going to start talking about himself as the shepherd. I am the good shepherd. There were other good shepherds, David and Moses and Aaron and others in the Old Testament. There were other good shepherds. But he says, I am the good shepherd. I'm the best, if you will. And the reason is, the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. This shepherd is willing to be a sacrifice. This shepherd is willing to take the place of the sheep. You know, we think of sheep are the sacrifice, not in this context. The shepherd is the sacrifice, laying down his life for the sheep. Take a look at Romans chapter 5. And this is the idea of substitution here. Romans chapter 5, verse 6. Christ died for the ungodly and the helpless. Verse 8. God demonstrates His own love toward us. And when you think of the love of God, think of it in the sense that God doesn't just talk about it, He demonstrates it. 1 John talks about God's love is manifest. God demonstrates His own love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Verse 10, while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of His Son. The Good Shepherd lays down His life for the sheep. He who is a hired man and not a shepherd, who is not the owner of the sheep, sees the wolf coming, leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. And again, I think this goes back to the Pharisees. They're not good shepherds. They're hirelings. And when bad things come, they hit the road. He flees because he's a hired hand and is not concerned about the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my own, and my own know me. There's an intimacy in that relationship. We are known by our shepherd, and we know him. Even as the Father knows me. He knows us as the Father knows him and as he knows the Father. Think about that for a minute. The eternal relationship between the Father and the Son, that knowledge is the same knowledge Christ has for us. I have other sheep which are not of this fold. Huh. So here's the fold. We're talking about Israel. There are other sheep that are not of that fold. Well, who are they? Take a look at Ephesians chapter 2. What's interesting about the book of Ephesians is Paul's use of personal pronouns. He talks about we, and he talks about you. Take a look. Did I say Ephesians chapter 2? We'll get there. Ephesians chapter 1. He says, verse 12, to the end that we who were the first to hope in Christ, to whom did the gospel go out first? The Jews. Paul says that a couple of times in Romans. To the Jew first and also to the Gentile. We who were the first to hope in Christ should be to the praise of His glory. In Him, you also, you Gentiles. Chapter 2, verse 1. You were dead in your trespasses and sins in which you formerly walked. Verse 3. Among them, we too. We were no different than you Gentiles, even though we had a covenant relationship with God, we were no different than you. Verse 11. Remember that formerly you, the Gentiles, separate from Christ, excluded from the commonwealth, strangers to the covenants of promise, no hope without God. But now in Christ Jesus, you who formerly were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. And that's exactly what he's saying here in John 10. I have other sheep. They're not of this fold. And I must bring them also, and they will hear my voice, and they will become one flock with one shepherd. That's us. We were the other sheep. We were brought into the fold. One flock, one shepherd. For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life so that I may take it again. Verse 18, no one has taken it away from me. I lay it down on my own initiative. So on the cross, we always get the impression that the Romans took Jesus' life. It's not what happened. In fact, if you read the crucifixion accounts, he gave up his spirit. Yes, they crucified him, but they didn't kill him. He gave up his spirit. He laid down his life on his own initiative. He decided when he was going to depart. Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. I lay it down on my own initiative. I have authority to lay it down. I have authority to take it up again. This commandment I receive from my Father. He laid it down. He took it up. A division occurred among the Jews again. Well, shocking. Many of them were saying, he's got a demon. He's insane. Why do you listen to him? Others were saying, these aren't the sayings of one demon possessed. These are the sayings of someone who knows what he's talking about. And besides, a demon can't open the eyes of a blind man, can he? Here you've got the door. You've got the shepherd. The shepherd lays down his life for the sheep, us. He died for us. He died in our place. He died on our behalf. He's also the door. Through him, we go to be saved. Through him, we go to find sustenance. So the question you have to ask yourself is, what's your relationship to the door? What's your relationship to the shepherd who laid down his life for you? Let's pray. Father, thank you once again for the Lord Jesus Christ, the good shepherd who laid down his life for us, and the door through whom we enter to be saved and to find sustenance. And we pray, Father, that as we ponder these things, that you would draw us ever closer to him, that you would help us to grow in the grace and in the knowledge of him. And those who don't yet know him, Father, we pray that your Spirit would move in their hearts to convict them, to enlighten their minds, and to draw them to yourself. And we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.